Now we want to continue on with our subject that we have been taking up. I don't know if you remember how long ago it's been, but we were talking about growth, and we were looking at that little phrase, and the child grew, and we're trying to see that in our own spiritual sense and how there should be growth, as we were just hearing in our prayer. So let's go to Luke chapter 2, if you will. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 40 is where we're going to start. Of course, this has to do with the birth and the development of our Lord Jesus Christ when he came into this world. But look at number 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and of the grace of God which was upon him. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Notice it doesn't say his father and his mother knew not of it. It says Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Now we trust the Lord will bless through us the public reading of his good word. Just to give you a little review of what we studied in the past about growing and those different individuals that we've already looked at. Remember way back in the book of Genesis in chapter 21, we saw Isaac, and it says of Isaac that he grew. As a child, he grew. The child grew. And then we saw that Isaac was like the promised child. He was the one that God had promised way back when he called Abraham out, and there he is now. He's the promised child that has been given, and he says that Ishmael, the one who Abraham thought was going to be the promised child, he says it's not Ishmael, it's Isaac. And then we can't move from there. We went to Moses. And you remember that Moses, in the providence of God, he was born in a day of slavery. He was born under a condemnation of death. And God gave his mother and father the wisdom they needed to preserve that child. And they put him in that little ark, and they put him in the Nile River. And you remember the story how they rescued Moses out from the ark. And providentially, by God's grace, he went from a little ark in a little bitty hut of a slave all the way up in one step right up to the palace. And he became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And that was in leading up to all the things that Moses went through. So we have Isaac, we had Moses, and then we went to Samson, that's right, it was Samson. And we saw that Samson was blessed with the power of God. He was blessed in a way that God, the Spirit of God, moved upon him, gave him exceeding strength and ability to do wonderful things, and he was able to see and sense and know the power of God. The only trouble is with Samson, he compromised, and he, in a carnal, sinful way, he lost that power, and he wasn't useful as God was wanting him to be. Then we were seeing of Samuel, and Samuel, his privilege was that he was raised in the temple after Hannah had given him birth. As soon as possible, she brought him into the temple, and as a young boy, it says he grew before the Lord. And as he was growing there before the Lord, he was ministering unto the Lord in the temple. And then last time, we were looking at John the Baptist. And John the Baptist also, it says of him that the child grew, and how he was the forerunner, the one who led and opened the way for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Now we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and we're looking at where it says here, the child grew. We're looking at something that really is beyond our comprehension. How God, the eternal God, could become a babe. It's called incarnation. The one who ever existed, the one who has no beginning and has no end, and yet he came down and became one with us. He was a babe. And I'd like you to think about that, because when you think of growth, when you think of who he was, the most, the growth of its in its perfect sense is seen in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we think of, let me just put it this way if I can, let's say in the animal kingdom, we generally have two names for the animal kingdom. I'm just giving an example. We have puppies when they're small, and they become dogs, right? Calves become cows. Colts become horses. Kittens becomes cats. And that's kind of the way it is. It starts with as a puppy, and then it becomes a dog. But not so in the human growth cycle. God has given us many different words, and these words, some of them are used for the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, let's go back to in this chapter and look at verse 11. Verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born." Here we have the idea of an infant, a little baby, born. That's, again, as I say, an absolute marvel beyond our comprehension that God would become man. And then you look over here, and from birth, you look at verse 16. "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." So we have come from his actual birth to where now he is a babe. Look down at verse 17, the next verse. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." And so you see the progressive development of the Lord Jesus. And then, as you see in verse 11, he was born. But now you come to verse 21. And it says, "And when 8 days were accomplished." And so Luke is a physician. Luke is a doctor. And as a doctor, he no doubt had children coming to him. And maybe he helped with the giving of birth at times. And so he would have a record. And he would keep on the record of the development and the growth of the child, the children who he had the privilege of helping bring into the world. But here you have Luke the doctor giving us descriptions of the development, the progress, the maturing of the Lord Jesus Christ in his physical sense, in his bodily sense. And so he's gone from to being born, to being a babe, to being this child. And then verse 21, the 8 days he talks about. Verse 22 has to do with a 40-day time period. And then you come along and it says in verse number 40 again, the child grew. And so you're looking at these different stages of the growth and development of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it comes to our own children, we would call them, well, the day they were born, we'd call them infants. We call them newborns. We would call them a child. We would call them adolescents or teenagers. And then from adolescents, teenagers, maybe move into adulthood to become adults. And so all of this is going on in our lives. And there's, I think, now remember what I said about the puppy and the dog, okay? There's only two names for a puppy and a dog. But for a person, there are several names that are given. And in the Hebrew, I think I heard it was said that there's 8 different names given to the maturing of a child in the Hebrew language. So that's just by the way. Here we find in verse number 40, the child grew. Let me just stop there. Go down to verse 52. "And Jesus increased." It looks, those two verses look very similar, and they are, but they are separating two important time periods in the lifespan of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 40, it is referring to the time he was born till he was 12 years of age. Because it's at 12 years that his parents, you see it verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, his parents brought him to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. That was the customary thing in the Jews. The Jewish people would bring their boys, their 12-year-old boys, the first time they met in that Passover gathering, and it was a big thing for a Jew. It was an exciting event. They were going to go up, and the first time they went was when they were 12 years old. So you have verse 40 represents the time period between the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and his 12th birthday. If you come to verse 52, you have it, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and etc. Now, this verse is written after they went back home after the Passover. And it takes us from the time that he was 12 until he was 30. Notice at chapter 3 and verse 23. It says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. So, verse 52 is talking about that span of time of approximately 18 years when the Lord Jesus Christ was living in Nazareth from his teenage years through his years of his 20 years old and now up to he was 30 years of age. It is interesting, as you look at the in chapter 3, when you see the genealogy of the Lord Jesus, it starts with the Lord Jesus, then it goes down, and it comes all the way to Adam. Now, when you think of the difference between Adam and you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, Adam started as a full-grown man. He didn't go through the process of being born, being a babe, being a child, being a teenager, and then into adulthood. He didn't go through all that. But the Lord Jesus Christ did. And you say, well, what's so big about that? Why am I mentioning that? I'm mentioning that because our Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest in heaven. And he has been through everything that you and I have been through, and yet in perfection. And so we were born. He was born. We were babies. He was a baby. We were children. He was a child. We were adolescents. He was an adolescent. We went through our 20s. He went through his 20s. And all the way through, it goes, and he went all the way to death. And so you find the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, he could have come in at any part of and time of life, okay? He could have started like Adam. He could have started as an adult and stepped into the scene at 30 years of age and then be baptized and go on and do all the things he did. He could have done that. But he chose not to, so that he could identify with us in every stage of our lives and as we develop in through life. So there you have it. Another thing. Between birth and 12 years of age, those of us who raise children and those of us who have close relationships with children, we know that there's a lot that happens between birth and 12 years old. What I mean by that is, a lot of times a young baby, well, one of the first things they learn to do is they learn to be selfish. If they're hungry, well, they don't care if mom and dad are having a crisis or going through a real big problem or whatever the case may be. They're babies. So they start crying and they bawl and they won't stop until you give them something to eat. And children are that way. Or they get a little older and they're fighting, they're squabbling, and they want to have this is mine and this is mine. And they're very possessive and they're trying to get a hold of everything they possibly can. And there's many other things that you can think about as what children go through between birth and 12 years of age. And all of those things are part of the sinful nature that has become ours through the fall and because of sin. So those things, well, they slow us down. Those things, they stop us from being all that we should be. They keep us from being perfect, far from perfect. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, now, think of it. There was not one moment of selfishness. There was not one moment of pride. Not one moment did he covet what somebody else had. Through all of those tender years, his life was perfect. What he was is what we could have been if it wasn't for sin. All the negativity that there is in our growth is because of sin. There was nothing negative or nothing that would hold him back as he grew. In other words, can I put it this way? It wasn't like there was one day better than another day. He never had to say, well, today wasn't a very good day, but tomorrow is going to be a better day. Or last week was not a very good week, but this next week, it's going to be a better week. He never had that experience. He never had a better day because he never had a bad day or a worse day. Every day was the unceasing development of his person. Constantly, constantly growing. And the child grew. You know, I don't know if you have heard of it. I haven't read it, but I have heard that there are different writings that are supposed to be very historical. I don't believe a word of it. But they claim that they're the Gospel of Thomas and the Gospel of Philip and different people like that. And they've been written by men and using their imagination of how they would have thought the Lord Jesus Christ reacted and did things when he was a boy in this period between birth and 12 years of age. And in their story that they've written, some of the things they've said is that when he was in school, he would take clay and he would make a bird out of clay. And then he would go like this with the bird, and the bird would come alive and it would start to fly away. Oh, sounds fantastic, doesn't it? Now, he could have done that, but that's not what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing. There was another story that he was playing with some friends, and accidentally something happened to one of his friends, and the friend died, and the Lord Jesus Christ came over and touched him and picked him up and brought him back to life again. That's not what he was doing in those quiet years as a boy growing up. He was just being, he was growing, he was developing, he could have done all those things, but the Bible withholds them from us. The Bible doesn't let us see really what he did do, other than we got a little picture of it here in from verse 41 down to verse 52. We're going to look at that little picture in just a minute if we have time. But before I go to that, look at verse 52 again, once again. There you have it, from 12 years of age to 30 years of age, 18 years of living in Nazareth. And it's interesting, in case I don't get to it, in verse 51, it says, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. The Lord Jesus. From 12 years old, notice when it says it, the time he's entering into his teen years, the time when most teenagers are saying, well, you know, they become very willful and self-reliant, self-dependent, and mom and dad, well, they're just, You know, when I was a little kid, they used to be so smart, and now that I'm a teenager, they're so dumb, and they don't seem to know anything. They're all so out of sync with life, and they don't have any coherency with what's going on around them. And so consequently, I have to go out and seek my own independence, and I have to become my own person, and I have to find myself in the world that's out there, and I have to explore it all and go out there and live in it and enjoy it and become very willful and very defiant and all the things that seem to plague most teenagers in the world. Many teens, not all of them, thank God, but many of it plagues them at that particular time. They're into being more, what do they call themselves, trying to find themselves, but a lot of times rebellious and defiant in the way in which they think and the way they operate. Just saying that made me think of a girl that when we were in Fresno, she was coming to our meetings, and she was probably about 11 or 12 at that time, and her grandmother was at the conference where we were just this past weekend. We were asking about her, I can't remember her name now, but anyway, how's she doing? She's about 16 now, and her hair's purple. Well, sometimes it's purple. Other days it's some other color. And she's this, that, and she said, her grandmother starts describing her. And she says, when her grandmother talks to her about it, she says, honey, you know, please don't do that to yourself. And her response is, oh, mom, granny, everybody does it. Everybody does it. Well, such is the life. But now I want you to notice, the Lord Jesus Christ, at 12 years of age, I explained all that other, how different he was. How perfect his teenage years were, and into his 20s. You know, as you go through the teenage years and all the ups and downs and the changes, the physical changes, psychological changes, the emotional changes, all those changes that take place in the life of every individual as they go through it. And then they move into their 20s, and then they're thinking about marriage, they're thinking about settling down, maybe they have children. They go through all of these processes, and those first years are so hard, and there's so many changes and so many influences that affect us, some positive, some negatively. But not so with the Lord Jesus. He went in there, the Almighty One, the Eternal One, the One who knows all things, in from the beginning. He went and he was in subjection to his parents. What a lovely thought. And what poise. You know, it's something that I think every young child should get a hold of. If you want to be, if you're a Christian, and you want to do what's be Christ-like, well, here's a fine way to start. Be in subjection to your parents as much as you are able to in the things of God. You know, I won't be able to go into all this, but let's just look at verse 40 again, and we'll look back at verse 52, and then we will terminate the meeting. Verse 40 has it this way. The child grew, and this is what I want to say, waxed strong. Now that has to do, I think, with his physical strength. He waxed, his child grew and he waxed strong. And then it says he was filled with wisdom. That would have to do with his practical way of living and the things that he did practically as between the ages of being a babe to the time he was 12 years of age. He was growing, normal growth. It was never a stagnant growth. It was in other words, when he was 6 years old, he was what every six-year-old should be if it wasn't for sin. When he was 8 years old, he was what every eight-year-old should be if it wasn't for sin. And so on. And every age that he went through, he was what we should have been. And if it wasn't for sin, what we could have been. Some people say, well, that's kind of abnormal. That's beyond us. It's on abnormal. Yes, it's beyond us, but it's not abnormal. That is what normality is. That is what we should have been. We're the ones who are abnormal, and when it comes to those. So let's go back. Grew, verse 40, grew and went waxed strong physically, filled with wisdom in his acts, in the things that he did, the things that he said, and then and the grace of God was upon him. And it, you know, very seldom, I didn't realize this until recently, very seldom does the grace of God is mentioned in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Very seldom is it mentioned. And when it is mentioned, it's related to, in relation to, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, John could say, grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus. And here we have the grace of God was with. Why? Because when the Lord Jesus was on this earth, even as a babe, he is the personification of grace. Everything that is of the grace of God is found in him, even as a babe, even as an infant, even as a child growing up. At 8 years old, the grace of God, that is who he was. That's his personification as a person, who he was. Now, let's keep those three things in mind. His physical growth, he grew and waxed strong. His practical way of living and his thinking and doing things, he was filled with wisdom. And who he was in himself, the grace of God upon him. Look over at verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You say, well, that's exactly the same thing as verse 40. It's not. Notice a few differences. First of all, like I said, this is what is said of him from 12 years up to 30 years. Increased in wisdom comes first, doesn't it? Where the physical growth in verse 40 is what comes first. But when it comes to his time as a teenager and through his 20s, he's marked out more as one who was in his wisdom. And he increased in wisdom. So often, in those years of teenagehood and young adulthood, there's a lack of true wisdom, of understanding life and understanding why you are doing what you're doing and doing it in a way that would show forth wisdom and maturity and understanding. So you see that difference. In the first part, it's his stature, his growing physically. On the second part, it's his wisdom that is brought before us. And then his stature, his height is brought before us. And then favor with God. That would have to do with that which is spiritual, wouldn't it? And then with favor with man, that would have to do with social. So here was one who was in before God, absolutely perfect as he went through those what we'd call turbulent years in the life of most people. But he was steady, constantly steady in everything he did with God. And then with men, in his social environments, perfect. Never associated himself with that which would defile him. Never associated himself with friends that would be, like the Bible says, be not deceived, evil communications, corrupt, no, companions, anyway, the idea of companionship will corrupt good manners or corrupt our own selves. He had none of that in his life. His life was a progress that never stopped. It never slowed down. It was steady. It was continuous right on through up to and through the time that he actually died. So the child grew, and we have an opportunity maybe to look at this next week in the will of the Lord, more about what actually happened when he went to the temple, and during that particular period of time, it's an interesting things that we can take out from that. I hope, but I trust that these little thoughts on the perfect life of the Lord Jesus Christ might stimulate us in realizing wherever I am, in my physical age, I should try to be one that grows and becomes more like the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the Word of God, and we trust that these little pictures that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ in his silent years and how they are hid from us. We do not know what he did during that time, but Father, as thou dost look upon him, thy eye found nothing but pleasure and joy and delight. Everything from his birth all the way through brought thee that which was according to thy will. And so we thank thee for such a one who ever lived on this earth. And to think that that very one, as our Savior tonight. So we give thanks to thee for him. Now, thou hast brought us here in safety, and we ask that thou take us home in safety and bless the word, too, that has been spoken to the young ones, and use it for thy glory in their lives as well. We ask it in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.